right. I'm with Daniel, who is fresh back from Wembley. An excellent day of Man Uing there. Eric's brave boys beating City to reach the FA Cup final. Brackets Coventry. How was it?
What a team. It was one of those situations where you're like, well, it was like a decade in the day, wasn't it? Just the whole, because it looked like straight in at number one, a stone cold Wilderness Years classic to ruin all the other classics we thought we'd seen before.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, I don't even, I have myself had a day. I was in the discotheque till quite an hour last evening. I then had to get up and I did the first half of the Forest Everton game. Then I went to the game and I came back and just did the Classico now. And it's actually that situation where I thought if this goes to penalties, like and I thought it was before the game, I might have a problem getting back for the Classico. But I thought, okay, that can't happen. And then it's 3-0 and you're like, okay. But then as soon as the first goal went in, I said to the mate that this has got all the makings.
Absolutely. And Coventry were, what, a toe away from winning that right at the end? I mean, it's the narrowest of narrow offsides. And in fact, it's the kind of offside where I see it happen. I think a lot of football fans probably feel this way. And we feel like the old rule where it was like, that's level. It was perfectly fine. And I almost felt guilty slash sorry for Coventry until I remember that Richard Keys is a Coventry fan. And then I'm like, fuck him. But it was just also, classic Steve United this season.
Steve Agrizovich and Keith Auchin campaigned for the Tories. And Steve Agrizovich like played for Liverpool in the 80s.
Yeah.
So Keith Auchin, I think, is from the Northeast.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you behave in that manner?
still the finest FA Cup final goal ever.
I think Greg Downs is that is non-United, probably my all-time favourite goal, that one. Non-United related. Just I wrote a long piece about it a few years ago now because I was just totally fascinated by this goal because I haven't seen a goal like that scored ever before or ever again. I was chatting to like a mate's teenage son yesterday in Shul synagogue and I was telling him about this. And I said, like, he's literally horizontal. So I sent him the goal today and he was just like, what? Because... It's weird because you would think as the athleticism of football has improved, we'd see more goals
like that.
But actually, only that one really, where you're proper horizontal, like the fast strain is just amazing.
Well, there was Robin van Persie in the World Cup, wasn't there? I mean, obviously different goal further out and all of that, but he was pretty Superman-y.
That's, I guess Persie may be a bit defter.
Yeah.
Because he's actually trying to guide the ball, whereas Houchin is just hurtling at it and he gets it in the middle and smacks it.
Yeah.
But there's like, it's only like, he's just got to get to the ball. Percy's got to get to the ball and control it, but now Houchin's still better.
Anyway, maybe one of the reasons we don't see those kind of goals anymore is because the cross has gone out of the game. But at least the high cross across the box, well, sort of high cross. But we had a low cross across the box to open United scoring. Scott McTominay, brave Scott McTominay, playing at number 10 with Bruno in the holding role. sound tactical approach there from Eric. And it all looked fine. It looked as it should be, right? United, doesn't matter what kind of tactical mess our genius manager puts out. Put any 11 Manchester United players on the pitch and they should beat this lot. And that's how it felt after however many minutes it was.
Yes, but at the same time, it was so slow. Like Maguire trundling forward with the ball. And everything they did slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Well, I almost thought, I was thinking this at halftime, that given the kind of criticism and the way United have been letting in goals by leaving midfield open, actually they were quite conservative in that first half. I mean, what was it, 2-0 at the break? And they were compressing the game a bit more, a bit better than they normally do. They weren't allowing Coventry just go through the centre of the midfield, except when Casemiro decided to try and run, which was a bad idea for him. He should just stay still. Now, and more on more on Casemiro in a bit, I suspect. But it was just like it was almost like he's gone, oh yeah, I see how we're conceding all these goals. Let's do what most teams do and try and stay compact when you lose the ball. But it all went to shit after 50 odd minutes, and they stopped doing that.
Well, I think it's that thing, isn't it, that once you get into trouble, they don't. That you can't quite say they haven't. They're not able to extricate themselves from it because they did, and they have done. But they have to. They compound things so easily. Incidentally, I think this happened, and I couldn't see to the other end. When Maguire scores the header, it was a good header. Does he knee slide?
Oh, I don't remember. So that's a bit dangerous. Like, a bit dangerous,
I felt,
given our injury crisis.
I felt
crisis.
Like he was going to. It's just, you can't knee slide scoring a header from a corner when you're 1-0 up against Coventry. I'm sorry, you can't. I mean, and maybe I'm actually chastising him for something he didn't do, but I think he did. And then, like, someone says, well, he must think he's playing for England. He's at Wembley, but that don't feel like he scores like the headed goals for England either.
No, he scored the one, didn't he, in the 2018 World Cup in Russia, and he's had a reputation ever since that he scores a lot of goals, which he doesn't. Fine header from Harry, and we can't take that away from him. Yeah.
The other thing is that you feel like United played Liverpool twice recently,
mm-hmm.
and in both of those games, like, the take-home has been, don't fucking switch off, because if you do, that can happen. And that's what they did, and part of me, I'm thinking, were those changes necessary?
Well, but I think
when you don't have any good players on the don't have any good players on the bench, but if you can't fucking take players off with 20 minutes to go or whatever it is, and you're 3-0 up against the Jampo side, then when can you?
Well, I think the thing is, you can't trust any of these fuckers at all. I mean, look, three games previously, the Liverpool game, the Chelsea game, and what was the other game in between? I forget now. He's taken Garnacho off. And in each of those three games, United have gone on to lose a lead. I mean, now, they don't. It doesn't mean they're correlated, of course, but it is interesting that happens. I mean, the Garnacho one I was less concerned about, Kobbie Mainoo, who's played a lot of football and may well be knackered, and the sports science may well be that he can't play more than an hour. But they took him off and United lost all semblance of control. They just completely lost the run of themselves tactically. And I mean, it was pretty shocking when a 18-year-old who's barely played 20 games of football for United's first team is is so important to their tactical makeup that you can't lose him. But they did.
And I mean, Garnacho, I felt like, was tired. Taking a few kicks, we need him. So, okay. Hoyland at the end could hardly move.
Yeah. But he kept running, didn't he? So
He did. And the chance he missed was a real classic. This guy's a bit low on confidence and needs a goal because we're confident in him, just puts the laces through that. But he tries to make sure. Because if you put the laces through it, you might balloon it, might hit a defender, where it might keep it, might save it. So he tries to get himself into a position from which he cannot miss. And he doesn't have that sort of time, as it turns out. And I think one of the problems that he has is that he's multidimensional in that he can do a little bit of everything. So he can run in behind, he can poach, he can run to the front post, he can run from halfway, he can hold it up a bit. He can do a bit of all of these things quite well. And actually, if you had a player who was more one or two dimensional, then they'd like with Vout, right? There was only a couple of things he could do. So you knew what they were going to be. So you could play to that, because he's only going to do that or that badly, probably. But that's what it's going to be. Whereas Højlund has a much bigger range of abilities and things that he can contribute to the team, which I guess is making it hard for them to play to him to play to them. And it's not an excuse for the manager not being able to sort this out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was not really in the game today.
No, but he's hardly ever in the game. You look at the number of shots he has and the number of touches he has. He is really, really on the low side for a striker. And this is, as the nerds would say, game model. Right? The United do not play through the central striker. He's expected to come slightly deeper or play with back to goal and bring other players in. And when it goes into him, which he doesn't often, most of the time, it's going out to the wide players, and the wide players aren't playing well. United don't play well.
And also, the wide players are more scorers than providers.
Scorers and impact players. I see a lot of people moaning, both online and where I was watching the game today, about Rashford, because he runs down blind alleys constantly. When he's not playing well, like today, he takes the ball, he tries to take on every single defender in front of him, and inevitably he loses it. And I just feel like that's instruction. Now, I think it's bad instruction, and he's executing it incredibly badly.
I'm not sure about that. Well, so what I find with him, and I thought our third goal was a really good example of this. He runs down a blind alley, like loses the ball. And I think the reason why he does it is because he doesn't have a clear plan himself of what he's going to do. Ten Hag is not going to game plan every single, when you're here and the defenders are like this, this is what you should do. He's got responsibility. And I feel like he's lost in the supermarket. He just can't decide what to do. And I think that's partly, again, like not a little bit like Højlund, but different way. His toolkit is extensive, but unreliable. I don't know, like a Fiat toolkit or something. That's like quite an 80s gag there, isn't it? Fiat's being unreliable.
I don't know. It's all Italian cars, isn't it?
My dad had one in the early 80s that was famously so. And Fiats were famous for that until the sort of... I say this, I don't know anything about cars whatsoever, and I know I'm talking to a mechanic. So, but he has quite a deep toolkit, Rashford. Like, he can go both ways. Left and right, inside and outside. Okay, so clarify that one. He can go both ways. He can shoot. He's got a great eye for a pass sometimes, and he can hit passes that you haven't seen sometimes. Mm-hmm. So he'll get in that position down the left usually, and what he's trying to find a route to go, and he's moving inside and jockeying and swaying because he can't work it out. And he gets into that position, and he makes the balls of it. And then it goes to Bruno, and Bruno knows what he's going to do. He takes the ball, he slams a shot with as much power as he can muster at that time from that angle. Mm-hmm. And he knows that with all those legs there, that kind of thing can happen, and it's a goal.
Yep.
And that really crystallized. And I think that's the difference between Rashford and Garnacho as well. Garnacho makes up his mind what he's going to do, and he tries to do it. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But it feels like he has a better chance of making it work and of making you less agitated because you can read it, like you can watch it and you know what's going on. And with Rashford, it just feels so repetitive now that he just burrows into defenders, tries to work a shooting lane and slams it into some shins or whatever. And it is frustrating.
I mean, it's definitely something that should be coachable. And I don't know what old Benny McCarthy and Ten Hag are doing with Rashford, but it's not worked all season. So his output is well down.
Do you remember?
His ability to complete these dribbles is down as well. And he does have a different role this season, but it's not working at all. And
doesn't
it didn't work today.
Because when we get Benny McCarthy, I lived with some Ajax fans on my ear off, and that was the Benny McCarthy song. And Sunday, are they? The other one that I can remember. But he scores that header against West Ham, that brilliant header. And I think he scores another good header around that time. It's like, oh, look at Benny McCarthy. But it's not really like that, is it? And Benny McCarthy's header, Porto against United, is brilliant.
Yes.
In 04.
In 04, when we were robbed, still saw about that one and that twat running down the touchline. Did he do anything in his life?
one of my close mates is actually doing Mourinho film at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Authorised or unauthorised?
Yeah. No, authorised.
Okay.
He's chilling with Jose.
Nice. I think Jose's time has come and gone, and Bastian Schweinsteiger's interview last week on the overlap didn't half crystallize the view that Jose may well be a total wrong'un. And I don't really want to see him back anywhere near the Premier League because of the drama, but entertaining, isn't he?
So it did sound ludicrous behavior. I'm sure it was. But Schweinsteiger, do you remember he gets that red card against West Ham? They're elbowing someone in the head for no reason whatsoever. And he has three games off. I can't remember if it's proximate to his birthday or to Anna Ivanovich's birthday, but...
Oh, it was convenient, was it?
Yeah. It was a Dennis Law Christmas special, I believe, was what I was told. But yeah, he did that on purpose to arrange himself some holiday.
Mind you, they look like they have a fine life. I don't know whether you follow him on Instagram, but they're always posting
I'm not
from
on Insta.
Whatever party they're at and beach they're on. And yeah, I mean, who can blame him? So back to
United.
Let
me ask you a question. Can I ask you the first goal that they score? I mean, the marking for that, even amongst everything we've seen before, the marking for that first goal was absolutely top notch. And he shins it.
Yeah.
Could another have saved it? It feels like he struggles with those kinds of things that are sort of low. And I mean, he probably couldn't, but... And then, because you think it, wonder it at the time, and then all you get to see subsequently is slow motion. That's not helpful for that. But
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, I think Anana struggles with his feet, and especially change of direction, doesn't he? Although, look, today, a couple of really excellent saves from the volley. I forget who it was off the corner.
The one that hit the bar. The one that hit the bar. Does he get tips to that?
I don't think he does. No. But look, he's been, apart from the one he dived over last week and maybe today's.
What about the second goal? The deflected, was that just nothing he could do about that?
No, big deflection. Yeah, big deflection. The Paul Parker special, that one. So
Exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you did call out Ellis Sims last week as potentially having the tools to cause us some problems, and he did. Actually, Hadji Wright, oh God, who scores the penalty right at the end to bring it 3-3. The moment he absolutely skins Casemiro, just pushes it past him and runs past him, and Casemiro's like an old man on his crutches trying to get back. And Hadji Wright's not even that quick, you know, so he's just normal quick.
I mean, in extra time, as it goes, like both teams trying to win that game. We weren't trying to do it very well, but they were both teams trying to win the game, which is why you end up with Casemiro alone at the back quite a lot. What did you make of his performance generally? Because I thought that it had some good bits.
Yeah, he's just not mobile. And he did all right. I'm not going to go... Like, it's like when Roy Keane had two games at centre-back, didn't he? And was it away at Juve and we won 3-0 or something like that? Maybe totally balls
he in plays centre-back and it doesn't work in the first game of the 95 semi where he gets climbed over at corners.
Yeah.
And then, remonstrates with Gareth subsequently in the second game. But no, I mean, he's not. He has obviously, there was that moment there's an extra time where he gets isolated, he gets left, he gets caught out wide and obviously can't do anything.
Yeah.
But the distribution was good.
Yeah. Shout out for Bruno as well. Over 100 passes today and just kept running and running and running.
He's dragged us through this cup competition. He dragged us through that Liverpool game and he's dragged us through this game. And it would have been nice to see better performances from him all season. But it feels like he hasn't really been given many tools to play his best because of where he's been playing and the way the dickheads around him have been playing. The point should be not no good team could have Bruno in it, but what would Bruno look like in a good team?
Yeah, I agree. I think Bruno in a good team would be much less frustrating because he'd be deployed in the right position. Not as he has been large parts of this season deployed behind Scott McTominay, the number 10, which is ludicrous. And he'd have better players around him that got into the right kind of positions to find the angles as he finds the pockets of space. And he did that constantly. And you wouldn't expect championship players to be able to pick up on him there, of course.
No, I mean, I have a grudge with him, actually, that he didn't rectify it. But winning the toss in Gdansk, going to kick second is, I felt like, a much more egregious error than Ole not bringing on fucking...
someone for Fred or whatever it was.
No, the keeper that wasn't De Gea. Who was...
Oh, Henderson.
Bringing on Henderson. But, like, a disproportionate number of times, the team that takes first wins, to the point where they were sort of mucking about with like one
and two,
and
two, one, table tennis, yeah.
like a tiebreak in tennis, with a serving, because it wasn't fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And for that penalty shootout to go how it goes, where it, for like seven times or whatever it is, seven times you're kicking from behind and they've scored. Then you kick. Yeah, that was ridiculous behaviour. But what I liked about the penalty shootout, what he did this time was, and I do think this probably had an influence, was him and Onana got the needle going, and that ups the pressure on them. And in the end, you would expect, obviously there's the idea that the team that doesn't deserve to win wins penalties, which I guess was sort of us. But also, given the difference in skill levels of the two players, in theory, you would expect the side that have done this before, a year ago, who have better technique, you would expect their technique to hold up better under pressure if they've experienced the pressure. And it's not like, because these guys, this is the moment of their lives. You're never getting back to this, probably most of those players, ever again.
Yeah.
Could get through to the cup final. And they've got to think about that. And it felt like the United players you would expect the better players to have the ability to take good penalties. Although, I mean, Casemiro's penalty was amazing. It was it was Bernardo Silva's penalty. It was exactly the same thing. The ball, he's there. He goes early. He does the walk because he obviously wants to get the walk done. But then their keeper keeps him there for quite a few minutes. As he's walking away to the side. The ref's given him instructions, so he's gone too early. And then the keeper walks away and obviously knows what he's doing. The ref goes with him, but the keeper knows that they can't take the penalty until he's in the net.
Yeah.
And then
Totally played with him. I thought that United tried to do it with Hadji Wright's penalty at the end. They were standing on the spot. They were Onana got himself booked, didn't he? He'd been booked for time wasting previously, and then I thought he might get himself booked again for getting in the face of the referee and the taker. And yeah, they were trying to do some needle during the penalty shootout as well. I mean, I don't know. For Coventry, it was a free hit the whole time, maybe up until the penalty shootout, and then suddenly the pressure's on, isn't it?
The United end also was quite funny at that. Not with the penalty, but when they score, a lot of people fuck it off and leave.
I saw, yes.
Like I know people that did it.
Yeah. Didn't wait for the VAR. What a schoolboy error that is. Yeah.
I saw a friend of the show, Andy Green, leg it out. He must have got back in. He got back in because I saw him come back. But a couple of other mates I know, they left and didn't get back in.
Wow. I did see that. Like, everyone behind Ten Hag just disappeared. Like, it was like the whole block just went gone. Yeah, we should know now. Wait for the VAR. So I thought they were desperately unlucky. Like, it's with your eyes and in real time, it doesn't look offside. It looks like
No. When it went in, at no point did me or any of the big group of us I was with go was out of sight.
No, and it's basically the size of his foot. You know, it's just like tiny fractions off.
But that's the thing. When you have the ability to measure things to that fine level of detail, which isn't necessarily as fine a level of detail as you might want to know conclusively, but whatever, when you can measure things to that fine detail, it's always going to look like, how on earth can you give that offside? But you can't have that information and go, well, it's almost not offside.
No, it's binary. It's offside or it's not offside.
And I'm sure that that would have been onside just without VAR.
Yeah.
With a lino, that would be onside. And I don't care for that kind of thing to happen, that margin of error. But yeah, I mean, I thought, I didn't have a good view of it. It felt like they got a bit lucky with the penalty, though, the 3-all penalty.
Yeah, I mean, it's his hand. I mean, he was very close to his body to be called. And he's turning as well, so it's very close to being natural silhouette. I mean, Jack Grealish got away with one that was more egregious.
Did you see? So. I didn't see that, but did you see the Everton Forest game?
I didn't see it at all.
So no. Ashley Young just sticks his arm out, and I don't see it. I think I've been watching this game for 42 years, and I don't think I understand the laws anymore.
No, like
I just couldn't see. And what's brilliant is then Forrest put that statement out and they go,
yeah,
we simply cannot accept. Well, actually, you can, because what else are you going to do, lads, apart from accept? Then they go,
yep.
We warn Pigbowl that the VAR is a Luton fan. The VAR is a Luton fan. I mean, who's even written that before the game? But they didn't change him. Hang on. So You tell them, and then that, this isn't how this works. Our patience has been tested multiple times. How fucking shrill is this? Your patience has been tested multiple times. No one cares about your patience.
But is this Mayorkas? Because it just seems to be very driven. But I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't phoned that statement in. It's so weird and petty. And I mean, and I know Arsenal did it. Well, what options have you got?
What are your options? What are you going to do?
I know.
Quit the league.
Hopefully, I wouldn't have been upset about Coventry's, like, that fourth goal being awarded, right? It's fractions. It's centimetres. I mean, obviously, I want United to win so we can go through and get beaten by City again. But, like, all the effort the Coventry had done to get back into that game, the pathetic nature of United retreating and suddenly going into a low block at half-time, the way we approached it after the third goal, we deserved to lose, basically. I just couldn't have complained about it. And I couldn't have complained if that goal had been a goal, because it would have been a goal at any point from like 1875 to like 2015, right? and now it's not. And like, VAR, if you play the old rules where any part of the body is level, it's level, then VAR's still got to... Like, still got to draw a line somewhere. Right?
Yeah, it'll still be fractions.
Fractions, whether it's the back of the heel, like, or the front of the toe. Yeah.
It feels like the whole body might be too much advantage to the striker.
Too much advantage, yeah.
Because then
you're
literally, like, you've got, you can play behind the defender, and that doesn't feel right. But it's funny, like, while I was thinking about it in the second half, and I thought we were going to win, it's just like, it was like slow, we're 3-0, thinking, what do we think's going to happen for the final with the defenders? So we reckoned we rushed Martinez back just in time for the final.
To get injured again.
But we think, no. We thought there was time to rush to get Varane back and get him injured again. Feels highly achievable.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll come back, play a couple of games, get injured, miss the final. Whereas Martinez feels more like might start the final having not played at all and then get injured in that.
And just get bullied. He takes a little while to get over his rust as well, Martinez. It'd be interesting to see if we've got any defenders for the midweek game, because Harry Maguire was clearly unfit at the end of that game. And so was Scott McTominay, not that he's a defender.
And Rashford.
Willy Quambala, obviously not in the squad. Today, Lindelof not fit. Martinez not fit.
Wan-Bissaka was also like he wasn't moving very freely at the end there.
His brain isn't moving very freely, I can tell you that.
Imagine how much Bruno despises these wankers, seriously.
He must, yeah. I think I might have stolen this off someone. I can't remember who said it first, but, it just resonated. The dumbest football team in the country. They're just the IQ of these players, and I suspect the manager as well. It's really, really low. They managed to get it wrong, given whatever game state there is, all the fucking time. All of the time. And the amount of stones they have is zero, except for Bruno. And Harry, I don't think he's that bright, but he has lots of heart.
But I think, like, stones, I mean, I don't know how we're quantifying or measuring, but individually, there are players in that team who can do things, and Rashford is one of them. I know that we don't like how he's played this season, and he is streaky and all the rest of it, but
yeah,
it's more about getting it all to work together, like as a collective. And this is also just part of the sickness that afflicts the club all the way through it. As a collective, it just doesn't work. Like, I don't look at this team particularly and like think there are that many individuals in it that I think are mentally weak, but I think as a collective they're mentally weak, and it feels more like a whole group thing rather than an individual's thing.
Yeah, I mean, that may well be a fair assessment. I mean, but at no point after Coventry scored did I think, we'll be all right. We'll see this out.
I have to say, I thought we'd score an extra time. I thought half an hour against this. But then as the team sort of depletes, I don't have a clue how Omari Forson is getting near it. I haven't seen... I mean, there was the little nice move for the main new winner of Wolves, but that aside, I feel like I've seen nothing.
No, I mean, he is of the sort of technical, slow the game down type that is not suited to a Ten Hag team. And as As is Ahmad, as is Sanchez.
So, so I thought Ahmad played, I thought Ahmad showed signs when he first came on. Like he was, I mean, and he's probably played against these players last season, been one of the better players in the championship. Like whether he's much better than the championship player or not, we don't really know. But I thought he looked all right when he first came on. I guess we might be seeing more of him. What did you?
Yeah, I mean, he came on for Garnacho the other week. I mean, by the end in extra time, we saw this weirdness in the cup game against Liverpool as well, didn't we? We had Bruno as the deep line playmaker, Forsen, Anthony, Ahmad, and Højlund up front. Do we have any other midfielders in there? Eriksen came out. Eriksen was playing sort of left side of the midfield three.
So slow.
I mean, it's just. Yeah, oh God, he's so out of here, isn't he, in the summer. Yeah, good penalty, yeah.
But
so, not much else, but yeah, good penalty.
Talking about the penalties, because it was funny, because Ainola just has this unbelievable habit of whatever the player does, he will dive the wrong way.
Well, he got one right.
And then he got one right. I know, because he's also, my maxim that dodgy keepers save penalties is like, and I don't know if this is just like post-traumatic stress from Dudek. I don't think it is. I think dodgy keepers save penalties, like Ricardo and Barthez giving them away and saving them. And so another sort of that kind of keeper as well, except he generally gets nowhere near any of them. But although he did say it was a Copenhagen, he saves one, wasn't it? So, but it was a good save, and it felt like he asserted himself in that shootout. Made a fuss, made it take a long time, put pressure on the kicker, and good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit embarrassing to have to do it against Coventry, but you've got to do what you've got to do. It's better than not as embarrassing as losing to Coventry.
The one that was skied over, he's well off his line by the time the kick is taken. And they showed the replay, and I was like, oh, they're just going to take this one again. It's so obviously he's miles off his line, and it should have been retaken. The Coventry player, I forget which one it is, was in an absolute state at that point anyway, so I'm not sure he'd have been in a fit position to do it again.
It reminded me a bit of when Liverpool win the Mickey Mouse treble in 0001. I think in the course of winning definitely the League Cup, is it they struggle past Wickham and they beat, is it Birmingham they beat on penalties to win it? Something like that. And then they end up, do they beat Alaves on penalties as well? Like getting to a European final and getting to play Alaves before he even started with anything else I guess it felt a little bit like that. But it was actually,
what did you make of the celebrations? Because Rasmus goes bonkers because he knows he's won it and he needed it, and none of the other United players did the traditional run and pile on. It was like the end of a friendly in July or something. And is that because of they're just embarrassed to over-celebrate at that moment?
Exhaustion, relief, embarrassment. I was at this point legging it down Wembley Way. And let me tell you, after an evening in the discotheque, this is not...
You weren't moving that quick.
I mean, it's not ideal. I wouldn't have said.
Who do you reckon's quicker in a straight line, you or our friend Casemiro?
Harry Maguire. Yeah, I mean, I was always unrenowned for my pace, I would say, and like no change of pace. I could run the races at school, but like not. I was one of the, we had the RPE teacher at school. One of the things he would do was in Camden, so athletics was just running around the track like the playground with the track printed on it. He would take the hands of like the slow kids who were often also the large kids. He'd give them half a lap head start. And then he'd stand there and piss himself as everyone overtook them. Okay. I'm not certain you get away with that now. And the same kids, when we had swimming, we had this women's swimming teacher. And the pool was usually quite cold. She would always leave the fire doors open in the winter so that you have this blast come in from the main road. And you'd get out of the pool and we'd all be sitting there in our Speedos on the side, on the bench. And everyone had to get out the pool via themselves. Like you had to lever yourself out. Not allowed to use the corner, not allowed to use the steps. So we'd all be sitting on the bench apart from the bigger kids. And I can still hear like the slap of flesh on linoleum as they go slap, slap, and then slide back in. cue laughter, obviously.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah, I mean, it's quite weird. It felt weird that this was a mixed school. And this was, I don't know, like, the person who was doing it was just this unusual woman, I guess. Like, it was kind of quite weird. Like, that dynamic of a bunch of teenage boys sitting there in their underwear and being laughed at by the teacher. I don't know. But I wasn't slow like that, but slow once I was on a football pitch with all people who could play sport. Yeah, I didn't have much pace, but I did.
Talking of slow, did you see Sir Jim running the marathon? He ran the marathon and then went to Wembley, which is pretty impressive. He's 71 years old, and he wasn't exactly rapid doing the course, but I can't remember what his time was. It was 4:20 something last year. But
that's all right.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good time,
yeah,
for a 71-year-old. It's pretty good time anyway, but for an amateur. But yeah, it's all that training Geraint Thomas is giving him, I think. His face, though, he was sat next to that rat-faced fucker, Avram Glazer, and his face was pretty joyous as United were winning 3-0. Face like fucking thunder. I half suspected he was going to do baseball coach style, run onto the pitch and was like, you're out of there.
Fire him.
Just sack, fire him during the game. Ten Hag on the spot. I mean, I'd have been totally up for that.
I was thinking about this, and obviously if we lose, you have to fire him. But how much of what I saw today was I sitting there going, this is totally the manager's fault? And in some ways, I guess not that much. We were 3-0 up. He made some changes. And as I said, like, on the one hand, you could be like, no game could possibly be in the bag with these idiots, so never do that. Or you need to rest these players because, yeah, some of them are looking like they might get hurt. So
yeah.
You need to make sure. And then, so if we say that the substitutions were reasonable in the circumstances, which I don't think is a reach, then what happened after that? How much of that is his fault? And it doesn't feel like that much of that was his fault. That feels more like that's just the malaise that exists at United, that it's taking, that will take a lot of time and a lot of signings and a lot of sales to get rid of. And yeah, and this is a job that has only just been started.
Well, I think that's all a fair observation. One of the things I'd say is the way United play is not by accident. This is what Ten Hag wants. He wants United to play in a deep block and fast vertical direct football up into the wings and committing players forward. And the chaos that we've seen is by design, not by accident. So that's
big
all I'd say. And we saw some of it today.
But, big picture, I agree. I agree. Like, I don't see him as someone who's going to be able to do the necessary. I'd keep him if the alternative was Southgate or Potter, definitely what we're talking about. If there was someone good, I'd get rid of him. But I didn't, all the things that are wrong with this team in the way that we play didn't feel like the reason we contrived to toss in 3 goals against Coventry. It felt much more like the ability to embrace catastrophe that is ingrained in some of the players as individuals and in the team as a whole and throughout the club. And that's why I saw that.
Ten Hag has a, like, because there were okay, unfair comparison times, but there were times during Fergie's time at United when he had a crap team. And he managed to get more than the sum of the parts. And it just feels like Ten Hag is consistently getting less than the sum of the parts at these players. And maybe
I agree.
Being unfair and these players are not as good as I think they are, but they certainly earned the fucking wages and United paid the price for them to be good players, top 4 quality-ish players, and they consistently underperform that. And that, in a macro sense, feels like that's on Ten Hag.
No, I agree. I agree. Like, it's enough of what we see is his fault, despite all the ill luck. The reason is partly it shouldn't be this bad in any situation, as bad as it has been at times. But also, I don't feel like I believe in the end point. And
I definitely don't.
And it's that makes me think that he should probably be fired. But if the alternative is idiots, then I would prefer someone above him to tell him, you can keep your job, but you need to find a solution to this. These very specific fuckeries of vacating midfield and giving away all these chances and having no control in games. And
yeah,
the answer can't be have better players, although that is a big part of the answer. It means we definitely need, feels like we need two midfield players in the summer, because if we get one injury or suspension, then we're back to the same bullshit. So two midfield players.
Well, plus Eriksen's going to leave and Amrabat will not be retained. So, I mean, that's two midfielders right there before you even think about Casemiro and McTominay.
I mean, low-key, mate, I was thinking, Amrabat is a hilarious chapter in this litany of disaster, but I can't, like, I feel like Mason Mount's season is brilliant because we think we're getting, we think we're getting him for a bargain because he's got a year left, but really we overpay for him given he's got a year left. We get him, he does almost nothing, and by the time he's actually any use to us, we're probably going to have signed at least one player, maybe two players, to play to go in positions he can't go in, and we could have had him for free this summer.
Yeah.
It's just that little vignette, and there's more ill luck there. There's as much ill luck there as bad judgment, the bad judgment being buying him and whatever, but it's just, it's such a beautiful vignette of
unitedness.
Wilderness years.
It really is. And Ten Hag moaned before the game. I mean, after the game, he was like, I have to say, it was almost like template Ten Hag, like blindness. He was basically saying we played pretty well and it was a shame to give it away, but we sort of deserved it. I might be paraphrasing in the wrong way. Before the game, he was complaining about injuries and saying, I've not had any luck. I've only been able to play my full team once against Manchester City last year. Except I keep getting non-contact muscle injuries over and over and over. 62 separate occasions this season. Now, some of those are contact injuries and some of those are illnesses, right? So it's not all of them, but it's just incredible. And I can't help but think he's flogging the fuck out of them, both in terms of the number of games that his core set of players play, because he doesn't trust the rest of them. And rightly so in some cases, but also in training. I think back to after United lost to Brentford and they'd run 13 point something kilometres more than us, and he made them go and run that 13 kilometres. At the time, we were all like, yeah, stick it up those fuckers, they deserve it, and this will set them right. I just wonder whether that wasn't a portend of bad things to come, and he's just literally flogged them on the training pitch for 2 years, and that's why they're all dropping dead.
It's hard, with not hard, it's impossible to speak with any authority on
none,
the subject.
I'm speculating.
But we can agree that it looks sus, that it feels unusual, and so it feels legitimate to ask questions, but all we can really do is hope that if someone, and you feel internally they will be asking these questions for sure.
I'm sure. I mean, he hinted it and said they think they know the answer. It doesn't appear to be that they're actually doing anything
73?
About it. Yeah, I know.
Who knows? Lima?
Yeah, well, that makes as much sense as anything. All right. Shall we leave it there? And we've got a game on Wednesday night.
One more thing. I met someone at the game today who listens to the pod. So thank you, Daniel. We appreciate the support. And he said to me, what's going on with the car?
Ah, you want a car update? Come on, you've got a fan club on car update.
I do have a car update. So I had the people coming to pick up my return lease car that I'm returning on Friday. So I sorted out, got the breakdown round day. They turn off, get them to turn off the engine light. The engine light goes off. I know it's going to behave itself because I know you now. You get a few drives out of it till it comes back on and it's long gone. Beautiful. I've obviously had all the stuff sorted out on the car, which I didn't realize I could have got done for less by the actual release people. But anyway, the first time they came to do it and the engine light came on, the guy was a really nice guy. I was pissing it down with rain, so really hard to see stuff. And he was willing to be reasonable because we talked about it. And he's like, I'll be reasonable, but some people won't. I know immediately this time, it's not pissing it down with rain, that this guy is a stickler. And before we're like 10, 20 yards away from the car, and he already is telling me that the paint job's not been done. I've had it painted to get rid of scratches or whatever. and it's not done well. And obviously you're thinking, don't be unreasonable. And he goes around with this piece of card, like reflecting, because it turns out it can't be done yet. So the other way of doing it is if you can see your face in the side of the car, then the car worked, then that's what it needs to be. And it was so clear that this had not been done on any of the work I'd had done. So, and then he goes, right, you're looking, either you need to go back to your place and tell them to do it again, or cost you about 1,500 quid for us to do it. And at that point, I'm thinking, well, I need to give this car back. And so I don't really feel like I have an option of I don't feel like I've got an option of taking it back to them. And this is like another 1,500 quid. And then he looks at the MOT certificate that I've had done by my same garage. And on the MOT certificate, it says there's been a recall on the car and I have to take it back to Volvo for a free service. And this is obviously the reason for the engine situation, the engine light that keeps coming on. And the engine light saved me because it meant that he couldn't take the car away because of this MOT situation.
Right. And you could take it back to the paint
store. I'm now taking it in for a service and they're not doing it till May, end of May. And I've got till then to get my guys to sort it out.
Wow. You can do that yourself. I've got a rotary polisher.
Of course you have.
Yeah, no. Repainted the back of my Maserati. So, yeah, you can do it. I did make a couple of mistakes, but I sorted it out in the end. Yeah, learned on the job. So
I would come back with fewer limbs than I started with, I think.
All right, how many limbs will be on the pitch when United inevitably lose to Sheffield United on Wednesday night? How many limbs have we got fit? Because it's not many. So I'm thinking of today. So we already had Martial, Evans, Martinez, Shaw, Mount, Varane, Malacia and Lindelof injured. None of them are going to be back. And we've also got Rashford, Maguire and Wan-Bissaka all looked like... Oh, and McTominay was limping through the mix zone, apparently.
Probably
there's not a lot left in the squad.
It's possible he didn't want to talk to any of the press, I guess.
There is that. Yeah. It's normally headphones on. They pretend they've got a call.
So one of my dad used to have this trick. I don't suppose he does that anymore now. He's old. But if he was trying to cross the road or he wanted to make a car like let him walk, he'd start limping.
Nice. Since we're on limping and cars, in Washington State, if a pedestrian is trying to cross the road, you have to stop for them. And it still freaks me out right now when cars stop in the middle of the road. And I'm like, well, what are they doing? What's going on?
That feels quite dangerous if like people shunting each other. And
you'd think so. Yeah. But I don't know. It's common practice. Minga spent a good many years in London. Know that what you do when you want to cross the road is walk out in front of the car and see and play chicken with them and see whether they'll actually stop for you or not. Sheffield United, Wednesday night. What the fuck are we going to see? I think that's got disaster written all over it. I know they're terrible, but we're unfit, just played a game. Have no players.
120 minutes, big emotional dump.
120 minutes,
on which
big
point,
emotional dump, yeah.
When they scored the goal that we thought was the winner, the United bodies strewn everywhere, the only thing that I can compare it to pretty much is Bayern players at the end of the final.
After
in 99. Just like
bodies
prostrate, everywhere, and prostates. Bodies, just like that emotional dump, even though they got away with it in the end, like they'll be embarrassed about what went down this day. And it'll stick with them for a bit. And they may perform against a crap team in midweek, or they may just, do what they do.
I mean, they are truly crap, Sheffield United. And they didn't get a new manager bounce when they brought back Wilder. I mean, I was just like, have they had any decent results recently? I'm just looking through there. They got spanked by Burnley. They got spanked by Brentford. They did get a draw with Chelsea. Not sure that says much. They haven't won a game since they beat Luton in February. What odds would there be on them beating United?
I don't think they've got it in them. But I mean,
they can't.
We need to want to see United 11, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we're not.
Well, the thing is, it's hard with the only game that matters now for the rest of the season, because we're not going to catch Villa. And it doesn't look like the Premier League's going to get that fifth spot now. still childish, yes. So the only game that matters is the cup final. So we've got a month and a few days until the cup final. And none of the games count, really, between there. So does this team all play for a place in the cup final, or do they behave like dickheads and lose a bunch of games?
Well, I think it's when you're trying, as a manager, you're trying to get them to that game, like fit with every, you're trying to get to that game with everyone fit, but also in rhythm. And doing that without risking injury is difficult. And the players also know that they've got a cup final. The most of them have got the Euros coming up as well.
Mm.
Like, busting your ass, tiring yourself out, risking injuries for this nonsense is like quite probably going to be, some of them will probably need some convincing to do on themselves. So, I mean, I feel like the old school dad in me is going disgusting. Like, they've got to play, playing for United, like, but the more sensible human being in me is just, well, of course, like, something has to give, and why would it not be the bullshit that doesn't mean anything? And that doesn't mean I trust the players to nurse themselves through this so that they're raring to go in peak form and fitness against City. Nothing of the sort, but I would totally understand if they were trying to.
Yeah. Well, it's Sheffield United, Burnley, and both at home, and clearly United should win those games. Palace away. Palace have just scored 5 today, which was weird. But then Arsenal, Newcastle and Brighton to finish the season off, and that has got not great rhythm going into the cup final written all over it. That has. That's to come. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, people, for putting up with us. You can catch us on our YouTube channel, where we're doing the few dailies during the week, picking out some topics, 15 minutes or so a day. You can catch us on Patreon, where we do a backer show. You can catch us on the socials. Daniel is at Daniel Harris. I'm NQAT Pod. Catch us on Facebook and Instagram and Threads. All right, we'll catch you in the midweek. Thanks a lot.
Please.